Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
In the way you're supposed to do it, Philip Rivers has bid adieu, right? He was basically given a month to think about it. It took him all of a week and a half. And through Kevin Acey, who covered him for years with the San Diego Union-Tribune, he said, it's just time, it's just right. Quote, I can sit here and say, I can still throw, I love to play, but it's always going to be there. I'm excited to go coach high school football. Keep in mind that Philip Rivers is an 8-time Pro Bowler, 5th all-time in yards, 5th in touchdown passes, and he's a 55% winning percentage, which is not great, but it's better than, for example, Eli Manning. And I have long been a proponent of PR, of Philip Rivers, for a myriad of reasons. One, because there isn't anyone who has anything bad to say about him, right? There is no dark side. There is no bad side. There's no yeah, but to him. That doesn't necessarily make a Hall of Famer make, but when you combine that with the fact that he basically never missed a game, right? He was drafted and ended up replacing and ended up replacing a guy who Drew Brees became a Hall of Famer in his own right. He came in for Brees when Brees got hurt in his last game as a Charger. Brees was gone anyway. And even though he played with an ACL tear in the AFC Championship game, he never missed a game. Which does help the argument of pocket passers last longer. He was durable. He was successful. He was likable. He has an incredible football mind. He has that aw gee shucks Southern thing going on. He talks a little trash, but does so without cursing. I don't have anything bad to say about him. But I would also tell you that if it was the real Hall of Fame, he probably wouldn't get in, right? The real Hall of Fame is reserved for the greatest of all time. Like the greatest of all time. And it's really, really, really hard to put him in there without even appearing in a Super Bowl. Now, there's also the element of, it's not just that he played during the era of Brady and Manning and was outshone by them in Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl wins, but, and this is the bad part for him, he played in that era and they're in the same conference combined with Big Ben in the same conference. And while the Chargers recently and early in his career were not poorly run, like they weren't, when A.J. Smith ran the Chargers, they had a great roster. I mean, think about it. You had Philip Rivers. You had LaDainian Tomlinson. You had Antonio Gates. You had Junior Seau, Tashaun Merriman. Like, they had dudes. Dudes. So it wasn't that there. And Marty Schottenheimer was a more than competent coach. But Marty didn't win the playoffs, and they didn't win the playoffs there. One year, they were the best team in football and lost to the Patriots on a crazy play where they had an interception up 8 and then Troy Brown made a remarkable strip and the Patriots got the ball back and came from 8 down, scored, went for 2, got it, got a stop, got the ball, and then kicked a field goal, won the game. And then the next year, they go into New England, the AFC Championship game, and Rivers had just beaten Peyton Manning and the Colts, has a torn ACL, plays with it, and LaDainian Tomlinson did not because he had a sprained knee. So they had some bad luck, but they weren't poorly run early on. But the perception of them was that they were cheap. They were in a relatively small market. He went through a move. He went through multiple coaching changes. He never missed a game. And he was the picture of consistency. Picture of consistency. But not having appeared in a Super Bowl does limit a lot of your arguments. More yards, obviously, than Big Ben. Never got hurt. No off-the-field stuff Big Ben had. You know, better regular season record than Eli, but none of that postseason success. And then you have Brady and you have Peyton, who aren't just all-time greats, arguably two of the three or four greatest ever. And oh yeah, by the way, they're in the AFC. He couldn't beat Brady in the playoffs, got a couple of chances to do so. He did beat Manning in the playoffs, but that was the year in which they got hurt and lost to Brady ultimately. If this was the real Hall of Fame, where you're picking out only the very best of the very best, then he probably doesn't get in. It's close, because how do you put Marino in and not put Philip Rivers in? The only argument is that Marino did appear in one Super Bowl and Rivers never won an AFC championship game. But I'd also point out that there is something to being a good guy, being likable, being affable, being somebody that people want to be around. You know, like it actually is part of how we view you. And you may say that's arbitrary. You may say that's unfair, but that's life, right? That's the whole T.O. thing. T.O. put himself ahead of team. T.O. was about himself. T.O. was arrogant, aloof, obtuse, all the negative words I can think of. Now, the production, totally there. Okay? But he got ran out of every team he ever played for. Ever. It wasn't like there was, like, Randy Moss, you could sit there and go, like, you know, the Raider thing didn't work out. They were bad. He was in a bad place. And, yes, it did end poorly in New England, but he was and is still beloved in New England. You could say what you want about Randy Moss. New England has great feelings for him. Terrell Owens, the people who are Terrell Owens fans are Terrell Owens fans. They're not Niners fans. They're not Cowboy fans. They're not whomever else he played for, Bills fans. They're not Eagle fans. They're T.O. fans. Because if you're a fan of a team, you realize that he, even though he's talented, and his talents did at times help you win, it's like we all point out the Eagles Super Bowl. Like, man, he played, come back early from a broken leg. Like, we do realize they reached the Super Bowl without him and may not have reached the Super Bowl without him had he been there, because he would call out Donovan McNabb. Doesn't mean he's wrong to do it, but the fact that he's aired dirty laundry publicly does make him wrong. Terrell Owens, he had to wait a little bit to get in because nobody liked him. And you can say, well, that's not part of the calculation. Why not? It's not just a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. So don't contradict yourself and say, it's a team sport, but, you know, it's an individual award. Yes, but the individuals should be awarded if all of their teammates love them. If everybody loves you and you're in a position where, and a style where people can frankly be haters, I think that makes your case even stronger. I enjoyed watching Philip Rivers play for all the years with the Chargers. And he suffered a similar fate to that of Dan Fouts. There were some great moments, some great throws, some incredible seasons, but there was no Super Bowls. He will absolutely get into the Hall of Fame. And he'll get in as a first ballot Hall of Famer, not just because of his on-field success, but because of his immense likability to anyone and everyone. And you know what? I'm not only okay with it, I get it. Because that is what life is about. Life is, in fact, a popularity contest. People have to like you. And two, that is actually what the Hall of Fame is about.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Who's going to be the next quarterback for your Indianapolis Colts? Okay, here are the odds. Jacob Eason is plus 200. Carson Wentz is plus 375. Jacoby Brissett plus 400. Matt Stafford plus 650. Eagles insider Jeff McClain tweeted this out. Philip Rivers' retirement further leaves quarterback vacancy with the Colts. On paper, would seem like the most likely trade partner for Carson Wentz with Frank Reich, but obstacles there, including what I was told is not sure Frank would take him, a source familiar with Reich's thinking said. You have the Eagles would have to bite the bullet on dead cap money, and the cap is not going up. It's like $31 million. And Frank Reich, not sure if he wants him. And there's the idea of of Jacob Eason. This is actually the opposite. The opposite of what had previously happened within the organization. You go back to when Andrew Luck was there. You go back when Peyton Manning was there. The issue was with everything but the quarterback. Well, they didn't. You know, then Edgerrin James, but then when Edgerrin James aged, what happened there? And the defense was spotty. Bob Sanders was always hurt, right? And they had small defensive ends, so they were built for one style, playing indoors, getting a lead, and two edge rushers pinning back their ears and getting after the quarterback, right? When those things changed, it made it hard for them. Made it hard for them. This team is built with an outstanding defense, outstanding offensive line, and an outstanding young running back who's on a rookie contract. Like, check, 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 check. Could they add some more talent at wide receiver? Of course they could. They're like a quarterback away, you know? So the first thing I think you do, I don't think, first thing you do is you have to make the call. What call is that? You got to make the call to Andrew Luck. And while you think it's crazy, he's been out of the game for 2 years. Jeff George had been out of the game for a couple of years, came back, and he was competent. He's Jeff George. Andrew Luck was a superstar quarterback who wanted to get his body right. I don't think he'll come back. I think Andrew Luck he's moved on. Like, my guess is he hasn't touched a football since he left football. But you got to ask, like, hey, dude, remember all those hits you took because you didn't have a great offensive line? We fixed that. Remember you didn't have a great defense that you could play to? We fixed that. So that's the first call I would make. And then I love the idea of Jacob Eason. And the main reason is not, and remember, Jacob Eason was, if you know his trajectory, okay, this is a guy who originally was an elite quarterback, and his dad played at Notre Dame. Not the Tony Eason that played for the Patriots, a different Tony Eason. Okay? It's very important. And he was like Sark's guy, right? Like, he was the guy that, but he went to Georgia originally and then transferred when Jake Fromm got there. And then he became Washington's starting quarterback. Right? And at Washington, you know, he only played, I think, like 26. He started 26 games in college. But he's a guy who checks a bunch of boxes for what a young quarterback's supposed to look like. 6'6", 230, athletic, right? And that looks like a dude. You're like, wow, that's a guy with major, major upside. He's the only quarterback currently under contract. He was a fourth-round pick. And you're like, fourth-round pick? There's a lot of Dak to him. Not Russell Wilson to him, but the same kind of, like, he had a good, not spectacular career at Washington. Probably came out too early. Could have stayed in school and instead put himself in the NFL draft. And he's the heir apparent. That's the idea I like the best. Because everyone's trying to get this. How can we load up our roster with a young quarterback, even better if he's not a first-round draft pick as a quarterback? You know? Even if he's not a first-round draft pick as a quarterback. So, you know, my deal is very, very simple. If you know what you have, if you like what you have, don't go in. To sign a free agent, you're going to have to overpay him. I wouldn't draft another quarterback if I feel like this kid has a chance. But I would go get a veteran or keep a Jacoby Brissett to be a veteran backup because he knows the system and knows the deal. I think that's a very reasonable path. You make the call for Andrew Luck, and if not, and you know, hey, Jacob Eason can run this offense, can be that dude, and oh yeah, by the way, makes like less than $1 million, there's no conversation to be had. You go with the kid, you support him with all the different pieces, and all that money you're saving on quarterback, you spend on all the different pieces which you can use to make the offense around him better. You know? Super highly touted guy, started as a freshman, got beat out at Georgia, comes to Washington, plays really well. And, you know, look, he beat out Chad Kelly, who has a lot of talent and been in the league. And he's their guy. And there is something to being Chris Ballard's guy, right? Chris Ballard, I picked this guy. I wanted this guy. We want to develop this guy. He's been in Frank Reich's system. To me, that's you make the call, and then you go to Jacob Eason.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's check in with our guy, Daniel Jeremiah, who, of course, has the Move the Sticks podcast. You see him on the NFL Network. And for the last couple of years, he's called the Chargers games on Sunday. You were there for the 12-win, incredible comeback win season when they beat the Ravens, lost again to the Patriots in the playoffs. And for the last year of Phillip Rivers, if somebody says, Phillip Rivers, go, what do you say?
I say he's one of the toughest competitors that I've ever had a chance to be around in any time during my time in the NFL, for sure. And people always ask you for, like, Phillip Rivers stories and the funny things he said, this, that, and the other. To me, it's when I got a chance to see him or get on the plane and I would stop by where he was sitting. Yeah, I'd walk by where he was sitting on the way back to where I was. I'd visit with him all the time, and I'd be laughing because I'd look down and his hand, like his thumb one time, looked like it was just, you know, three times the size of what a thumb is supposed to look like on his throwing hand. And be like, Philip, dude, what the heck happened to your thumb, man? I don't know. I don't want to get it checked out. If I get it checked out, they might shut me down. So he just plays through it. All the injuries everybody knows about, there's a million more that nobody knows about.
Yeah, there was like Favre without the addiction stuff and without the snap photos, right? But also without the Super Bowls. I mean, that's really like, but an immense likability. Like, I don't know. As much as his last year, he was crazy flawed in that he'd try and make plays for no apparent reason, just trying to hero ball, win games, turn it over. I don't think there was ever any animus that I can remember with his squad, because he is such a leader and such a type of personality that just energized the room. But you're around those guys every day. Yeah. Was that false, or was that really how it was?
No, I think it was legit. He didn't have any enemies on the team. I mean, guys just respected him because he worked so hard. And I think people watch the games on Sunday, and you might see him get frustrated and kind of barking at people. And you go, oh, man, he looks like he's showing this guy up. And, you know, they must not like him behind the scenes. But it was the exact opposite. They all enjoyed being around him and playing with him. And he was definitely one of the guys. And I think it's, you know, we'll see. We all assume, right, that Drew Brees is gonna step down. So then that's both those guys kind of finishing up their careers at the same time. And I would argue, Doug, off the top of my head, tell me two guys who got more out of less in terms of their abilities and what they accomplished. You know, like I don't think you would put either one, you know, on a pedestal in terms of, you're just talking about Brett Favre and one of the more all-time great throwers, just gifted, talented guys. These guys squeezed every last drop out of their ability.
I would. Peyton's the same thing, though, isn't he?
No, I think so. But I think Peyton, when he was younger, had a more lively arm. You know,
okay.
Definitely more lively than Drew, and I would say even a little bit better arm than Phillip.
Yeah, it really is like all of the. There's this group of quarterbacks: Big Ben, Eli. I mean, they've lasted a little bit longer than the previous generation had, but they're all going to kind of go out there. And then you got Brady, who's going to play this weekend. He was good, not great last weekend. I know he's played well in the cold before, but people do forget he did not play well last year against Tennessee in the cold. He did not play well against Kansas City the year before in the cold. And now he's 43. And the older you get, like the story I was told is that Favre's last game, remember, against the Giants NFC Championship game with the Packers, right? He's outdoors, and he was telling people, like, he just couldn't get loose. Like, his back was just so stiff. It was so cold, and it was this exact same weekend. The likelihood that he's sharp in that level of cold, I think, is hard to believe.
Well, the way I look at that game is, if he's throwing the ball 35 times, that's not what they need. I mean, they have a pretty nice combination now with Fournette running physically, and then Ronald Jones comes in there. He looks like he's running 10 times faster. He's just got so much juice. It's a little change up there. What they have, they've got a nice thing going with their run game. I think they're better up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. So if it comes down to quarterbacks and they're both throwing the ball 40 times and it gets into that type of a game, then the Packers are going to win. But I think Tampa's got a good shot of going in there and making it a little bit of an ugly affair.
Do you think they will win?
I picked Tampa to win by 3. I picked them 31-28. And I originally put in the Packers, and I acknowledge, look, if it's, you know, Rodgers is always capable of going out there and doing Rodgers type stuff, and they're not going to lose if he does that. But I think if you stack up the rosters 1-53, you know, you give Green Bay a big edge there at the quarterback position with Tom at this point in time in his career. But I think the Tampa Bay Bucks have a better roster.
I don't see it. Maybe I'm just infatuated with how sharp the Packers have looked, especially early on in games. You know, even that game when they're up, you know, 10 to nothing before it went to hell in the handbasket. Like, they've looked so sharp and they've looked better over time. Maybe I'm diminishing, and I agree with you. Tampa does have some parts in that roster which are really, I mean, like, look, that's a little bit of the story here is with the Bills, with the Browns, you know, with Tampa, with some of these teams that have been bad for 10 years or so. Like, at some point, you're not going to hit every pick, but you just accumulate dudes, and then you pick
top
up some
10 pick after top 10 pick. I mean,
and it's not just top 10 pick.
With top 10 picks.
And people always say, like, well, you know, this first round guy, it's not just the first round. You pick in the top 10 in the second round. You pick in the top 10 in the third round and in the fourth round. And so you're getting guys that grade out as fourth rounders, you're getting the best of that lot.
Yep. It's a great point that I don't think it's mentioned enough. That's why I was laughing ahead of the Chiefs game with the Browns, because it was like nobody's given the Browns any respect, and we're the little engine that could. And I'm like, Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett, they're literally the first pick in the draft. Those are the guys that are saying all this stuff. I'm like, I don't think you can play the respect card when you've got number one overall picks on both sides of the ball there.
Okay, here's a question to you. What do you do if you're the Ravens? And I've heard people say, well, you got to get them a big-time wide receiver. Okay, well, I don't think a big-time wide receiver is going to sign there because you're not going to get enough footballs, right? They're not going to change who they are. They may just change some. So you have to, I guess, draft a wide receiver. What do you do, though, with Lamar contract-wise, considering he's after his third year and he could be up for an extension? And, I mean, look, he's obviously been very good. Luckily, has only been hurt once and it kept him out a couple. But you do think that there's a ceiling there. You've been able to give him a great defense and skill position players that fit. What do you do if I put you in that Ravens front office?
Well, first of all, I would say I'm not necessarily shopping for a number one wideout. The thing they don't have on that team, which I think would really help Lamar, is I'm getting an elite pass catching back, which they don't have. You've got tight ends, which those are the easiest throws on a football field are to your backs and to your tight ends. So if you have somebody who struggled with accuracy and pushing the ball down the field and towards the sideline, I'm going to accumulate the best collection of backs and tight ends that can catch the football as possible, because I'm going to bake in those 10 to 12 easy completions and have that complement what you have, which is a fantastic run game, you know, that he contributes to. So I love J.K. Dobbins as a runner, but he's not a pure pass-catching back. So that would be on my to-do list if I were the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, when you look at the contract in the future there, that's a tricky one. I think you're probably going to end up having to pay a little bit more than you'd like there, and you're going to have to cross your fingers and toes that you're going to be able to keep him healthy, because I don't see them changing. I mean, they need to change their passing attack and they're going to evolve. I don't see that happening.
No, I agree with you. John Harbaugh's comments are such. I will warn you this, that this is, again, carrying some of the bias in from having watched him extensively in college. And some, he's strangely erratic to the backs. Like, that, it's one of the weird things with him. Like, when he drives the ball in the middle of the field, man, that thing's a laser. And he can throw a great deep ball. But it's outside the numbers, and then some of those dump offs to the backs, he just misses. He just, you're just like, what? It doesn't make any sense. But it's one of the things where I understand what you're saying about running backs, but strangely, he seems to misfire on running backs more often than he does on some of those throws over the middle.
Yeah, I still would much rather take my chances of him improving in that department versus him improving on driving the ball accurately outside the numbers. You know, I think there's an easier fix involved there. And when you get used to running a bunch of those routes and throwing a bunch of those routes, gosh, I have to believe he can figure that one out.
What do you think the Browns should do with Baker?
Well, I think they're committed to Baker. I think they're in a good spot in that they have the other pieces around him, you know, so he's good enough to win with. I don't think you're going to win because of Baker, but you can win with him when you have those other pieces in place, and I think they do. I mean, they have a lot of the shopping done. I mean, there's little left on the to-do list.
I don't dispute that, but again, he's also after his third year, and all of these guys are going to want that new, like, you pick up the fifth-year option, and then you just wait? Is that what you do? Because, you know,
they're not going to be picking in the top 10 again. Like, those days of being able to cherry-pick and change out quarterbacks, I think their roster's too good. I don't think they're going to be in that position anymore. So, even, you know, it's a like-or-love thing, right? It used to be, if you don't love them, then you're picking in the top 10. Go get another one. They're not going to be picking up there. So, if you like him, you're kind of in the like business, not the love business right now.
Yeah, yeah. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What should the Indianapolis Colts do?
I would try and trade for Sam Darnold is what I would do if I were them. I mean, you can talk about Carson Wentz. My gut is when they fired Doug Peterson in Philly, that to me said they want to try and make this work with Carson Wentz with a new coach coming in there. So I'm beginning to think that's not going to happen. He's not going anywhere, which to me the next best option would be is Sam Darnold, because you know they have to trade a hefty amount to get up where they could get one of these top four quarterbacks. Those guys are going to go flying off the board. I don't think that answer's on campus right now. You've got Jacob Eason there. You've got Jacoby Brissett. I just don't think either one of those guys are it. So that Sam Darnold would be the number one guy I would target.
You don't think Eason is the guy?
I don't. I didn't think he was a great touch thrower coming out. He's a big power arm. But, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of his coming out of UW, but, you know, who knows what's gone on over the last year. They'll have good knowledge of what he can and can't do, having seen him on the practice field for a full season.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network and Move the Sticks podcast, joins us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. What happens to Deshaun Watson?
I think a whole lot of nothing. You know, you don't ever see these types of deals happen with a quarterback at that age with his ability. They just don't ever get moved. So I think he'll end up getting worked out. It might be a little messy between here and training camp, but I think it's at the end of the day that this is a bunch to do about nothing.
Yeah, I kind of do as well. I feel like the agent is a little involved in this one because remember the agent also represents Jalen Ramsey, and there was a similar, you know, put my feet in the ground and I want to be moved. You know, the difference is this is the quarterback. They have him under contract for as long as they want to have him. You know, I mean, he's not going to not play football. That's not going to happen.
No, yeah, there's not. Your leverage is a little bit limited in this new CBA, too. So it's just too prohibitive to hold out. So the leverage is we're going to make it, you know, ugly from a PR standpoint that you're just going to want for it to be over. And I don't know that they're going to cave on that front. If they were worried about that, they would have made some other changes in the organization, you know, over the last couple of weeks, which they've refused to do. So that doesn't to me look like an organization that's going to, you know, listen to that demand.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so you picked Tampa. Did you pick Kansas City?
I picked KC. Yeah, I watched that tape, the Buffalo Baltimore game, and you know the first time. When you go back and watch the tape of the first time they met, when Buffalo and KC met, you remember Buffalo played very conservatively defensively, and the Chiefs ran the ball down their throats, and people were saying, they need to be more aggressive, and that approach didn't work. Well, that approach made that a one-score game, even though they ran, I think maybe it was a nine-point game. It was close. That approach kept them in the game. I watched the Baltimore game, and for the reasons we talked about earlier, they were not as worried about them down the field. They were busts all over the place. I mean, there were Hollywood Brown could have had a 3 or 4 touchdown game, but they won. It was a missed throw. Another time you might not see him. Another time you had a back who missed a blitz pickup where you had an easy touchdown. You try and play that aggressive against Kansas City, they will pile up points in a hurry. So I don't know what the right answer is for Buffalo on that one. Everybody's saying they need to be more aggressive. Do that at your own risk.
Okay. What do you think of the coaching hires? What one to you jumps out as that dog will hunt?
I like Saleh. I think Saleh's a good one for the Jets. They needed an edge. You know, sometimes there's just teams that, I don't want to say the loser mentality, but just kind of, it's just like a mopey, woe is me type spot. And I think they got somebody to come in there that's got a little edge to them. It's got some juice, got some energy, and I think it'll be good for them.
Yeah, I do too. But when you bring in your offense coordinator from San Francisco and you're the former defense coordinator of San Francisco, and San Francisco had an affinity for Sam Darnold, doesn't that mean they want to hold on to Sam Darnold?
I think it can mean two things, right? I think it means they could feel like they can win there with Sam Darnold. They like Sam Darnold. It also means they know whatever Kyle Shanahan believes about Sam Darnold. So sometimes, you know, when you're in those negotiations, if you're going to make a trade, you're like, I don't know, how far do I push this thing? I don't know how much they really, really like him. Well, they're going to walk in that building, walk right upstairs to Joe Douglas and tell him exactly what Kyle Shanahan thought of Sam Darnold, and they're going to know what kind of leverage they have. So it's a pretty unique situation.
DJ, great stuff, brother, and I really appreciate you joining us. Can't wait to talk with about our two Super Bowl teams after this week. I agree with one of your picks. I disagree with one of your picks. My picks will be Friday, but I bow to your info and knowledge. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're the best, bud. Every time we talk, I feel like it's not an angel gets its wings. The Padres get another starting pitcher. That's what happens now.
He's the Jeff Passan of the NFL. He's the one and only Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, talk soon, dude.
Thanks, bud.
It's